You're listening to the Fox in a Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
This is your co-host, Savannah Hawk, with you again in studio with the lovely and wonderful and amazing and beautiful Miss Judy.
Hello, everyone.
How are you today?
I am just fine on this gloomy Sunday.
Ugh, so gloomy. Hate it. I'm hating all of it. I was like, it's so gloomy. I haven't even dressed. Like, Savannah is not in studio today because Savannah is going through a dry patch of like, meh, and not even wanting to dress. But that's neither here nor there. It could be here and there, but it is not today's topic for today. But Judy, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Why is it all about me?
Because you love Savannah.
Well, don't you love Savannah?
I do love
Savannah. Oh, you heard it here first, everybody. Judy loves Savannah.
I'm more partial to Chuck, though.
That is an important distinction because we'll probably touch on that as well. I wanted to give a shout out to a subreddit, which is crossdressers_wives. And I was reading one of the posts by a partner / spouse who was talking about, and I won't go through the whole thing, but basically they said, why can't I get, from their perspective, can't they get one day, 1 minute, one moment when it's not about their partner's dressing or feminine persona? So I wanted to chat today about how you have dealt with that or what your experience have been from it being all about me in that way, and the fears and trials, tribulations, everything, the whole Megillah. About what it's like when you're feeling like you don't even exist anymore in some way, because every single solitary fiber of everything going on is always going to be about that person's dressing.
Well, it was that way in the very beginning because she told me right up front. And then I spent all that time doing all the reading and everything. And you were quiet and patient and waiting. But once you started talking, it was like, all Savannah, all the time. Well, how are you thinking? What are you feeling? Did you read this? And what do you think about that? And it was a lot.
Mm-hmm. And also, to be fair, I was asking you how you were feeling about the situation as it applied to me. It wasn't necessarily me singing and dancing all about Savannah all the time. And you're just like in the wings waiting for it to fucking stop. Once my performance was done, you're like, oh, is it my time to go on? Can I get a minute on stage? I was like, I'd like to think that it was me anxious to find out what you were thinking about it. So I was putting you center of it, but it was, yes, about me and my situation and how you were approaching it.
Well, it can be overwhelming. And it seems that Savannah sometimes is more important to you than Chuck is. And that is stressful to me because Chuck is the person I fell in love with. And Savannah is a bonus.
Good save. Good save.
A bonus.
Okay.
Yes. And you have done a very good job in keeping it in moderation or in perspective where you don't overwhelm me, because it can get overwhelming. I don't even, to be honest, listen to the podcast. Because I see Savannah every week, most every week, and I know she exists, and I need to keep a perspective. I guess like that crossdresser's wife said, that it can't be all about the cross-dressing person.
Yeah, I remember Julie said on one of the podcast episodes where she called it a pink storm. She didn't call it pink fog, cloud or storm. And I was thinking about that earlier today going, yeah, if you think about pink fog or pink cloud, but pink fog is what we typically call it, is we're lost in it. You're kind of swept up and caught up and lost in this fog versus a storm, which is all consuming, violent, which just everything is just supercharged, lightning, thunder. So I was thinking about that this morning. because I was thinking. And it was like, yeah, it's one thing to be caught up in this, being lost in it, both from it taking over you, as well as unsure what to do with it, because you're just feeling around, you're not really sure what's happening in this fog. Typically, for the listeners, you could think of it as almost an OCD, whereas after days, years, decades of being hidden and put away and not sharing with your partner, and all of a sudden you get the bravery to either share, or you're found out and you had a conversation about it, and all of a sudden, I told this to you yesterday, where if somebody's got their finger in the dam or in the dike and they release it, you're not going to just get a drip of water coming out. But once that finger's taken away, the dam is going to burst. It's going to break away. And that is really how pink fogs are. You go from this all or nothing. You go from the male partner that you thought you had to all of a sudden, it's every waking moment is about, what? I can dress? You're okay with it? Oh my God, I've shared it with you and this burden is lifted. And now I'm going to go on Amazon and buy all the
what
stuff.
What do you think of this dress? Yeah. What do you think of that dress? Look, I'm on this site. And oh, I'm going to get this makeup. And do you think this color looks
and wig and wig and wig and wig and wig and shoes and shoes and shoes and shoes and heels.
Yeah.
This going from a typical and traditional male and female dynamic to this male, female, female dynamic. And all of a sudden it feels very much, what happened to my male partner? Where is he? Because all I'm hearing is everything that is femme related. And it's definitely, like you said, can be super overwhelming, especially when you've mentioned you have ADHD. Yeah. And so in general, you could be overwhelmed by these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
If you hear anything, it is our dogs are locked in a room with us.
Not cooperating,
but speaking their own minds about how they feel about this. It is something for the female partner to understand that this pink fog is very much like an obsessive disorder in a way, in that
hyperfocus for ADHD people.
Yeah.
Where you're just like zoned in and that's all you can see and it's all you can think about and you can't break away from
it. No. Well, because one, you've been given license to do so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after all these years of purging and buying and purging and buying and being kept in a closet and being looked down on and all these things, again, from a cross-dressing perspective, from a gender diverse perspective, it is knowing you've related who you are to your partner and getting even the slightest green light.
Mm-hmm.
And how that can take on this fiery life of its own.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I first came to your apartment and I had found out about Savannah and you showed me Savannah's wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was intrigued at first, but once we got through about 15 shoe boxes and all these dresses and it was so overwhelming after a while, I just glazed over and you were just like, oh, and I got this and I got this and oh, look at this one. Isn't this pretty? Oh, and I got this and I got this. And I'm like,
yeah. Once I started seeing your face twitch.
Yeah.
I think I said, maybe we should stop this because I don't think you're enjoying this anymore.
I was so overwhelmed. Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, is this what our relationship is going to be? Because I was not on board with that. That was too much. It was way too
much. Well, it was too much for you to take in all at once.
Yeah.
And I think that, but in my excitement, because you had quote unquote accepted Savannah in some moderation, of course, I was very much, I didn't have a pink fog necessarily at that point. It was about the excitement of sharing.
Yeah.
Not realizing that your acceptance was still somewhat conditional and not fully formed.
No, I haven't started reading much yet at that point, you know?
No, you haven't. It's like, and I know you were very concerned, and we've talked about it on a podcast before, where you feel or felt, and maybe still feel, that the percentage of clothing between male and female was tipping way too female for your taste.
Oh, it still does.
But yet you still have Chuck 95% of the time. So what does that tell you?
You have the entire walk-in closet in the guest room, the entire dresser in the guest room, and half of your closet in the master bedroom with Savannah things.
Yeah, and?
And then the little half rack that has Chuck's in.
And point is?
The point is the balance is not equal.
I challenge you to a duel. And that duel is, what percentage of daily life do you get with Chuck versus Savannah?
A great deal.
No, give me a percentage.
A percentage?
Yeah.
90 Fine.
Okay. So if you're getting 95% of maleness from Chuck, even though my closet says, it's really like 70-30 Savannah versus Chuck, what's more important? The fact that my closet's maybe a little skewed towards Savannah, or you get Chuck 95% of the time?
Of course, it's more important that I get Chuck.
I rest my case, Your Honor. I'm done with this guy. And again, I bring this up in a funny fashion because it is true. You were very concerned about the balance of the closet you thought was indicative of the balance of who I was as a person.
I did not know what to expect or how often I was going to be seeing the female side and whether I was going to be comfortable with it. And there were no guidelines and no parameters and nothing. Now we've settled into this nice little routine and it's easier to know that it's not going to be, I'm not going to come home and find you all dressed up and unexpectedly.
First of all, I'm too lazy for that, number one. I mean, I'm too lazy to do it today because I was just like, I don't feel like doing it. Trust me, it is effort for me to become Savannah. So it is not, oh, I'm going to come home today. Oh, Judy's going to be home in a half hour. Let me start transforming. But that is not our relationship.
No.
We don't have the...
But I didn't know that in the beginning.
No, you did not.
That's the thing. That's what we're trying to convey to the partners is that there's a lot of fear because you don't know what to expect. And you have to just ride it out and see where everything lands.
And that's a good way of putting it because my experience is not everybody's experience. Mm-hmm. A partner who knows that their male partner dresses is not going to find this lovely little balance without a lot of communication or with a lot of self-confidence in their own state of being. And this is not just for me, this is for you too. Mm-hmm. You had all these concerns and worries about what you thought my dressing would look like. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, at the time, we really didn't talk about it a lot, about setting boundaries, because I think you were maybe afraid of setting hard boundaries. I think we respected certain things, like, I don't want you wearing frilly panties because I'm not ready for that yet. So there were things like that you gave a hard boundary to. But there was, I don't think, did we ever have a discussion about, not to say this is it a permission thing, mm-hmm. but I don't think we ever had a conversation about, okay, Chuck, I only want you to dress like once a week, or I'm only comfortable with you dressing once a week, only do it when I'm not home, or only do it with giving me some foreknowledge of it.
We never did have that discussion. That's partially why I was always a little nervous. Or sometimes you'd come out in a nightie and that would throw me off because I wasn't expecting it. And, you know.
And so the point of that story is, even we did not do this very well.
Yeah.
I was very confident in who I was as a person. So I don't think you were dealing with somebody finding themselves in that moment necessarily. It's really about finding the balance between the two of us and you coming to terms with.
Yeah, I was not confident at all because I had never experienced the fact that anybody would cross-dress except to perform on a stage. So I had no idea what to expect and I was very fearful.
So I want to ask about that because I know you've mentioned it before and it really blows my mind is that you're my age, a little bit more. And I don't know, for some reason, it still amazes me in this day and age. And we are talking 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So let's call it 2012, 13. So we are in a new millennium. There's information out there about all of us. RuPaul's Drag Race was on air, or at least she had her albums out, whatever.
A lot more out there now.
Yeah. Of course. But my point is that to the crossdresser or gender diverse person, never assume that your partner has any foreknowledge or understanding or acceptance or just self-education when it comes to people like us. And for some reason, I'm always like, really? You didn't think that a crossdresser can dress just to fulfill this feminine need?
You've grown up with this as part of your life. So for you, it's just business as usual.
I'm not talking about like my growth. I'm talking about like just general knowledge. So for me, yes, I've grown up with this my entire life and I've come to terms, I've made decisions and I've educated myself. Yes, I get that. For me, it is always the surprise that even somebody else like me is, oh, I thought I was the only one. Mm-hmm. Or I thought I was the only one in Idaho that did this or in the entire Northwest. It just blows my mind that the Google search is so easy that you would know that you're not alone in this. which I think then translates to this concept of you being like, what? Men like to dress as women just because they have this need to fulfill this feminine spirit that they have?
Yeah, I mean, I just went to the Google.
The Google?
Yeah, I went to the interweb and I typed in cross-dressing and it was not wonderful
what
I found. So it was not very encouraging or did not support your case very well, which is why I came down to show, not tell, because there wasn't much good information out there.
I don't like that. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that...
Go on Amazon now and type in... Maybe I should say Amazon, but you can go to the interweb now and type in looking for a book on that.
Cross-dressing.
You are not going to get very many educational books. You're going to get a lot of smut.
Erotica.
Books. Erotica, yes.
I'm all for erotica. Don't get me wrong. Eventually, I'm probably going to write some erotica. I just think I'll probably maybe make some money that way. I gotta make my money somewhere. Yeah, but I mean, it's very popularized. I mean, shit, trans porn is very popular. Trans erotica is very popular. And here's the thing. How is it so popular, but yet somehow we don't accept it? So again, it's a weird juxtaposition of taboo versus...
That's a subculture.
It's weird.
It's not out in the general...
The mainstream, but yet so many people are doing it. Like there's been, I don't want to say studies, but people are like saying... Oh, this type of subgenre is very popular with people and people like watching it or people like reading it. And obviously like some of the stuff that you've been reading, the kind of high fantasy, semi-sexy dwarves and elves and dragons and stuff. And this one person you're reading now has got a whole series of books, New York Times bestseller. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of genres and subgenres that are like very successful and accepted. But yet something like me is still written about and cinematically presented in many ways in a very fetishistic way. That's not the topic of the discussion, but it's a nice little side note.
I mean, they did have things like the movie Tootsie and all of those different things. There was a sitcom on for a while with men dressed as women, but it was more satire.
Well, satire. The two things I always say about those movies is that it also doesn't represent me.
No.
Because Dustin Hoffman needed a job. He couldn't get it as a man. Tom Hanks needed an apartment. We could find it in the all-woman's building.
Yeah, I think with Barbara Streisand.
Oh, I never saw Yentl.
Yeah, she dressed as a man.
Why? Do we know?
It was something in Russia. I don't remember. Years
was ago. She trying to escape persecution? Probably. Okay, so she was also doing it for a reason.
Yes, it was.
Okay. And even Victor Victoria, Julie Andrews was a woman dressed as a man imitating a woman in that movie. So triple play. But in a lot of ways, those movies never were the person just, I'm just this person who needs to do it for myself. Not for deception, not because I need to get something out of it. I just want to be me. And I think going back to the original comment, you said, like, you didn't realize that existed.
No.
Yeah.
No, because there are no movies, you're right, that just has a couple where the... Well, actually, there was that one. What movie was that?
Put some lotion on its skin.
No.
Oh, wait, that's a whole different thing. Sorry.
No, he ended up trying to transition.
Oh, the Danish? Yeah. The Danish girl?
Yes, the Danish girl.
Yeah, that's sad.
So, yeah, that's probably the only one I've ever seen that really showed a man that felt like he was a woman and started dressing that way, was accepted by his wife and through the whole journey.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I think.
Also, Trans America, also Transparent, had that a little bit. Mm-hmm. There was a movie with John Lithgow, who transitioned late in life, and the whole thing was about the acceptance of the wife and the children, and they don't have him transition at the end, but they did this last night together before as a pre-op. But even that is more about transition, not about somebody like me.
Right.
So it still is, if you were to see those movies, oh, so are you like the Danish girl? Are you like John Lithgow?
And those movies are not in the mainstream either, no. That people have heard about them.
Yeah. So yeah, it's somebody just dressing a dress or be, I don't know, just to be without a medical chemical transition seems to still be very underground in some way, except for when it's performative. Mm-hmm. But let's get back to the original point. I know we've talked about a lot of things, but the point was about, when is it going to be about you? When are you going to get your moment? So let me ask it a different way.
Okay.
So do you feel that Savannah overshadows your identity, existence, day to day, or do you feel like you're heard and seen? you have a voice in this relationship. And it's not just Savannah, Savannah, Savannah all the time.
I feel like I have a voice. I am confident in who I am and don't feel the need to compete. I know that we've spoken to women that do, oh, I need to wear more makeup, or I need to dress better, or I need to wear heels because I can't be outshone by my cross-dressing partner. And I ain't about that. We've gone out many times where you dress up to the nines and I've got my jeans and a sweatshirt on and I'm like, this is how I'm going, you know, different styles, you know.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask you, because again, I've heard about this many times from other couples, is to be outshone mentality of, oh shit, my husband looks better as a woman than I do. Mm. And how does that make you feel? To be, oh shit, she's in this gorgeous blouse and a miniskirt and in perfect makeup. And I'm like, I don't want to put a stitch of makeup on.
That's rough. I relate to that with the whole jacuzzi incident we had at Keystone and also at the casino, where twice I was not instantly recognized as a woman.
Genetic woman.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that did a lot of damage to my self-concept, because I'd like to think that it's pretty obvious that I am genetically a woman, but apparently it's not so obvious.
Yeah. Knowing so to fill in the gaps on this, we went to a conference. We were both in a jacuzzi tub and Judy's looking hot to trot in her bathing suit. And this drunk person is basically in the tub and just being obnoxious. Basically, it's like, oh, yeah, when did you get your boobs done? You know, like, when did you transition? Like, really laying on thick that Judy, because she had really popping boobs. Yeah. Must be a man who had transitioned versus a genetic female. So that was like really a black mark for day one of that 4-day experience. And then we signed up to go to the casino. And as I think we were like waiting to leave, we're all kind of
the bus. We were tired.
We were tired and we're like around the bar and just waiting for everybody to show up and being told that we could go on.
Somebody just sat down and started chatting with me, and you were chatting with some other people. So I just sat there and talked with them, and or it was a cross-dresser or transitioned, I don't know. But they talked and talked and talked, and finally it came across. They're like, "Oh, you haven't transitioned. You're a woman. Oh,
yeah." You know? I can imagine self-esteem would be taking a harsh blow as a result. Now, the only defense I can make of that is you are in a sea of people in varying degrees of dressing or transitioning. And there was like a Swedish girl at that same jacuzzi who you would have never guessed was not female. Mm-hmm. But we all knew that they had transitioned. And actually, they were only top transition. They didn't even bottom transition, but they were gorgeous. Oh, and I would have never thought that they weren't a female.
Yeah.
So this kind of juggling act of, let's not make assumptions about what people are, even though you're in a hotel with 500 people who are in different levels of transition in presentation. Mm-hmm. So I can see how it would be said, but there is a decorum I think people should be a little more mindful about, especially when spouses are there and SOs are there, to just blurt shit out like that. And I don't know.
We had that one person that we knew from one of the groups we used to go to pre-COVID that we never did figure out whether they were male or female. They were just gender neutral, but we didn't know. And how do you ask? There's no politically correct way to ask, even to ask somebody that knows them, but still it's an awkward thing to bring up. So
and then why doesn't, and then why does it matter?
Yeah.
And it's true. And there is this weird line that you may understand as a woman, like a woman who gets a boob job. Like the woman gets all of a sudden very proud of everybody wanting to see their boobs. So if a typical female, nobody be okay with just grabbing her boobs. But for some reason, women get a boob job and spend $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000. They're very proud of the product, the end result. So all of a sudden they want to show it off and everybody. They want everybody to feel it.
Yeah.
So there's just that weird concept. And I think that that idea also translates to this trans experience where, one, we might be way more comfortable in talking about things like that. We don't like some of that stuff's not off limits, but yet I don't go around asking trans women if they still got their penis or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that should just come up as part of normal conversation. I'm like, hey, do you still have your penis? It's like, I don't know. I still think that even if I'm in the community, that's like a little faux pas to do. So that's just weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I know we keep going far afield, but I want to get to one. I'm thankful that you feel heard in that your identity is not tied to my identity. The way I dress doesn't inform how you dress. Mm-hmm. If you want to come out with me somewhere, you don't feel, oh, I have to
match you.
Match me. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's important. And I've heard as many times where people feel less feminine when their man dresses so overtly feminine. Like all of a sudden you feel less of a woman because your man's like, dude, they're just bringing it out. They're like you said, they've just put on a 10. Mm-hmm. They put on a masterclass of femininity. And you're like, is that what they want me to do? Am I less of a woman and less attractive and less desirable because I'm not matching their expression of femininity?
I can see that women could feel that way. But it all depends on your level of comfort with who you are and how you present. If you live out on the West Coast, they're a lot more competitive and doing each other, all the women. So I imagine if they have a cross-dresser in their lives, they're not going to be outshone by them. No, no, sir. They're going to dress to the nines, you know.
And I could say the same thing about a couple Southern Belles we know here in the upstate, that they won't leave the house without perfect veneer on their face. Mm-hmm. But you know, we know some people who like will not leave their bedroom without being completely set and ready to go.
That wears makeup to sleep even.
Yeah. And else I couldn't even, I mean, I'm seeing that from a genetic female side going, dude, I could never compete with that. When I'm done, I'm done. I want to take it off. Mm-hmm. We've seen all spectrums of wanting to raise their own game. And here's what I want to say about that. If you feel that you can gain something by what your cross-dressing man does and add it to your own repertoire, awesome.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not saying don't learn some things. I've always fallen into the trap thinking women know how to put makeup on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I keep running into women who have less skills than I do.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's like,
my daughter says, you do much better than I ever could.
So the idea that we have to understand where we are living and why we present the way we present, and that's our own journey, whether it be like protection, because I need to look even more female than a regular female so people don't notice me. So by standing out as more overtly female, I blend in more so. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, I am a man, just to let you know. I am a man who is trying to change the shape of my face, the contours of my face, everything about my face to be as feminine as possible, all with makeup. Mm-hmm. So that is very, so I wouldn't be rolling out of here with no makeup on for myself out of this house. And to be more overtly feminine in dress form, in heels, in dresses and skirts and things, whereas a lot of women you see are just happy to be in their yoga pants or their comfy pajama-y looking fuzzy pants. And they're comfortable that way, but they also don't have to prove themselves as female.
Yeah.
I always like to say that any partner of a gender diverse male, we have to do these things because we need to protect ourselves and we want to feel comfortable in that persona. But that is not necessarily what we're expecting from our partners because we all too want to just be like you already. So you don't have to.
You just want to be pretty.
Yes.
You don't really care if your partner is not as pretty or prettier. You just want to make sure that you're the best you can
be. Yes, that's a very good way to put it.
And I will say that I have developed more of an interest in clothes because we have shopped a lot for Savannah. And while we're looking for Savannah, sometimes I'll veer off and look for dresses for myself or something, which I didn't used to do. So I have morphed a little bit in that way.
True. You've also got more into your own vibe.
Yeah.
I've more comfortable in your style. Bohemian style. I want to also challenge you about what you just said. You're talking about being as pretty as me, because from my perspective and my outlook and my rose-colored glasses that I'm looking through, you are pretty. You're pretty as is. If you want to embellish with a little makeup and a little whatever, that's your prerogative to do. But I already see you as pretty. For you to be, oh, I'm not as pretty and I'm okay with that, I think is a dangerous statement. Because you are pretty, you just
Okay, pretty, maybe not as dressed up.
There you go.
Not as polished at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because again, beauty is vast and wide, and we all subjective. See it very subjective, yes. And we all see different people different ways. That's why so many different styles of people have people who love them, because it's not just all cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. So yeah, beauty is how we see it in ourselves and each other. I know we've had this conversation where, oh, it'd be great if you put a little mascara on, but like you put the bare minimum mascara and gloss on, and it just elevated you from every day to the I'm ready to go without it being overblown. You don't need all that because you are already you.
And unfortunately, the mascara really irritates my
eyes. I know, mine too, actually. It's like, a weird sub note is that I noticed that like when I put on mascara and do like eyeliner, my eyeballs can almost feel like the vapors of the chemicals coming off, and like it starts irritating, causing things to tear my up.
Eyes are tearing all the time and they get itchy. It's
very strange. Very strange.
So that's basically why I really don't bother, because I used to throw on some mascara and a little rouge and that was it. I was dressed up, or maybe do my eyebrows a little bit when that was good, but I don't even do that anymore because it's just...
Because she stays at home, everybody. No, I'm just kidding. She's like, don't leave the home.
I forget to take it off at night, and then I wake up with raccoon eyes.
And that's why you always got to carry a compact with you to make sure you can like get rid of all the raccooning and keep it sharp and nice. But that's just...
too much work.
See, there you go, people. Where she finds too much work, I find a necessity. With that, I wanted to sum up this episode. Thank you so much for being on again. I hope people, again, we went all over the place today. We did, which is fine. And also, the main point is that while we have asked the question of, do you feel seen? Is it all about Savannah? It's like, when is it ever going to be about you? You feel that with communication and with some boundary setting and some self-confidence in yourself of who you are, and me being a little more established, even though I was excited to share, it wasn't like me going on a $4,000 shopping spree of new stuff because, oh my God, I finally have a partner who accepts it as part of who I am. Also, I'm very thrifty and I go do like a massive shop for Savannah twice a year, typically. Or if it's cosplay, maybe 3 times a year.
In the beginning, though, we did go shopping so that we could buy clothes for you that I would feel more comfortable seeing you in.
Boo. No, that's true. Shouldn't. And we'll never agree. And I know this podcast has been going on for hundreds of episodes. And ever since episode 1 to now, we will never agree on the length of the hem of my miniskirts. But that's okay. Let it be known that it's very, very important to realize SOs of cross-dressing men, that we want to be you. Think about it that in those terms, like while you may feel like your man's going through this trial and tribulation and this storm of excess and obsessiveness, be there, guide them, say, listen, maybe not go overboard, like try to reel that back in. I love you, but you're straining our credit cards a little bit right now. Let's be a little more mindful. Let's be a little more thrifty. But know that like when that dam breaks, that emotional dam, it's a big deal for us as cross-dressing men who it's one, exciting, two, it's, oh my God, oh my God, I can finally breathe after years of not breathing. They're constantly going to be gasping for that breath, worried that.
Fearful. That's what I was going to say, that the partner needs to show support to make the cross-dresser feel less fearful about everything, and that they can be comfortable, they can relax a little bit and just be themselves.
Right. But in moderation.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be front-ended with, I've just bought 5 wardrobes of things. Mm-hmm. Let's stretch it out a little bit. Know that we have time. Know that we talked about that today, actually, by having time. Mm-hmm. Like just because you didn't do it today doesn't mean there's not time.
Right. Right.
So it's about the all or nothing thinking, that black and white thinking, that cognitive distortion that says it's all this or it's all this. And it's on the both partner's side to know and to say and to let each other understand, no, we're both going through it, but we have time. We'll set the agenda. We'll set the routine. And you don't have to feel like it's all this second or it's lost.
Right. And if you take a break, that it's never coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Judy. Appreciate your input and insight as always.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you to everybody who's been very supportive of Judy's participation.
Yes, it's very humbling.
Humbling?
Yeah.
Well, I hope it makes you feel good.
It does.
So now you know how I feel. Thing. So now you know how I feel about this imposter syndrome.
Oh, yeah. I know. You're a little celebrity. You walk around. Oh, you're Savannah. I have your book. And with the new one's coming out soon, by the way.
That's true. I think I put on May 1st as its launch date, but we're still tweaking it. May 1st, hopefully, will be when Gender 101, an A to Z handbook and exploration, will be out. Mm-hmm. Very excited for that. Thank you for the plug.
And I should also plug Julie and her wonderful service that she offers.
Yes, foxandhanger.com, styling and consulting services. She does an amazing job. She has amazing clients and she loves being part of that community. So please give her a shout out and some love that way. With that said, again, thank you for everybody who's shown so much love and support for what Judy brings to the conversation, because her voice, as we have heard repeatedly, is not loud enough in many cases. And it's all about what the crossdresser thinks and what opinions they put out onto the table for a partner who's asking a question. So it really is important that Judy is that voice so that people can also find resonance in what she has to say.
Yeah.
There you go.
There I go.
There you go. So with that said, love to all of you. Love to you, Judy. And oh, thank you. And bye for now.
Till next time.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living With Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast, on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast, or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.